Hello, listener. Hello, world. NFL Week 14. Never mind the quality. Feel the width. No buys this week meant a full slate of games to remind us just how terrible the league is this year. Shining lights Dallas saw their offense dim and the calls for Romo begin as Manning pulled the plug on their 11-game win spin. At the other end of the football hierarchy, the Browns and Niners fight it out for that number one pick. Potential number one, Myles Garrett, must be as sick as a parrot. Somewhere in the middle, Trevor's back for Denver, showing young Paxton how it's done. Trevor's a very modest man, with a lot to be modest about. Over in playoff picture land, the deal is firming up. Pittsburgh is in, hoping on a Patriots win. Detroit too, after spanking the Bears derriere. And KC's Andy Reid told his Sunshine Band, "That's the way, aha, aha, I like it," as he recorded a second hit on the Raiders. In injury news, Carr and Stafford have stiff little fingers. Ryan Tannehill is queasy with his kneesy. And Andy Reid has a broken Johnson. Ouch. Justin's out. Unfortunately, the cream for that rather embarrassing rash, listener, hasn't worked. So we sent him off to a celebrity's private clinic for the week. Best rash advice? Run with it. Don't pick, 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 and pick constantly. Although, that sounds like a Pete Carroll to Russell Wilson sideline chat. All that and more on this episode of the Next Fan Up Power Rankings.
Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next Fan Up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
So who's in for Justin? Well, we had to get a big name. A man with a rock star image. Next Fan Up royalty, indeed. Yes, it's the man who brings the steel to the deal. It's Pittsburgh Greg. Hey, Greg, how are you doing? And how depressing is it to be Justin's backup?
I'm doing great, Neil. It's no more depressing than being Earl Thomas's backup.
That's true. He's still out there looking for the ball, isn't he, that guy? Wow, they were terrible. They were terrible. We'll get round to them shortly, I'm sure. Right, Greg, we'll do a usual week. We'll look at every team. And I want to know from you, Greg. I know I'll throw in a bit as well. And we actually have some breaking news which applies to this. We're going to look at who's on the hot seat. Which of these coaches is feeling their pants are on fire. After that, we'll do our extra point and we'll get out of here. So if that's okay with you, we'll just do our traditional starting point. And that is going with number 32. At number 32, we have the Cleveland Browns. Surprise, surprise. 0-13. RG3 didn't seem to help very much. And well, maybe that's not much of a surprise. They're a team in your division, Greg, or I think they're in your division. I think maybe somebody's kicked them out of your division by now. What do you think? Cleveland, hot seat?
Well, I mean, the plan is in place, right? Suck for whoever the defensive end is. So, I mean, and, you know, thank goodness that they do that because the Niners make sure that they're forcing them to keep pace. So.
Yeah, the consistency the Cleveland and the Niners are showing in this run for the first overall pick, it is, you have to say, quite impressive. I mean, that sort of dedication, you don't see that in many teams. And poor old Myles Garrett, yeah, he's going to be, he can't sleep easy at night, can he?
No. Here's a good stat for you. This was shared from Rob, our Bills superfan. You know, Mike Tomlin this week got his 100th win. So he's the third straight Steeler coach to have over 100 wins. So the last three Steeler head coaches have 440 wins combined. The last three Browns head coaches have 14.
All right, hold on. I just need to go off and be sick in a bucket somewhere. 440 wins for three coaches.
Correct.
Wow, that is incredible. So who's that then? That's Tomlin, then Cowher before him. And then, what's his name? The legendary coach you had?
Noel.
Chuck Noel.
Yep.
Wow. How many did Chuck have then? What's the split there? So it's 100 for Tomlin and then...
Like 100, It's like 150-ish for Cower than like 220 for Knoll or something like that.
Brilliant. Greg, you should give up on the Steelers and come and support a real team. Okay, number 31, we've got the San Francisco 49ers. And those two teams, Cleveland and San Francisco, the same places. I think we swapped them once or twice throughout the season, but those are the bottom two. And yeah, well, let's move on from those two. Because number 30, not only are the LA Rams dropping down two spots to number 30, but we had a bit of news from the Rams camp today. And it looks like poor old Jeff Fisher, it's over.
Well, surprisingly, though, this should help their rankings in the power ranking. Shouldn't they move up a few spots here?
What do you think, five spots?
Couldn't hurt.
I'm just going to... Jeff Fisher, he's... Okay, so he signed a two-year extension back in the... Or it was agreed back in the summer, in the off-season. So they're cutting him loose with just over a year and a quarter, I guess, left on that deal, which is not unusual. I mean... It's very seldom you see a coach actually get into the last year of his contract. So he's gone. Now he leaves the Rams after almost four seasons with a 31-45-1 record. No winning record since 2008. That's 2008. That's like 8 years ago, for goodness sake. He's currently 4-9 and has a career, a very proud career record of 173 wins, 165 losses. And one tie, and he's leaving the game tied for the all-time loss record that he shares with Greg.
Oh, no idea.
Dan Reeves.
Yeah.
So it's actually a blessing, isn't it? Because if he'd played this week and he had lost this week, he'd have that record all to himself. And who wants that record?
Well, see, the scary thing is, I think Fisher's only like 58 years old, so he's actually young enough to come back again. So
maybe you should take him at the Steelers, Greg. You know,
okay,
give him 100 wins. No,
no, thank you. Oh, we're happy.
It's a serious question, though. This guy seems to get a job wherever he wants. He's going to be back, isn't he?
Why not? I mean, he could be a historic coach with his next team, as you just said. So
he could be. Yes, indeed. I mean, 2008 was his last winning season. That is just... How does somebody keep a job that long in this league? It's just... I don't know. Maybe it's just different times nowadays. But eight years of that winning record. That's pretty impressive. Good job. Good job there, Jeff Fisher. And we will miss him. I'm not sure. Do we keep the drop at the end of the show? Now, or do we have to change it since he's no longer in the league?
We'll probably have to change it next year. Well, I'm sure we'll have a good one, like Coaches Coach Good or something. So
that's right, yeah. Or something along the lines of Jeff Fisher's should be called the bus because he's certainly no coach. Something like that. We'll see how it goes with, poor old Jeff. I feel sorry for him. He's only going to make $7 million next year. How is the guy going to survive?
No food stamps, that's for sure. So.
Yeah. Been there. Right, let's leave the Rams behind and move to number 29, Jacksonville Jaguars. They're up one spot. They lost a very tight one there. But I guess I keep looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars, Greg, and I see Allen Robinson. Last season, he had 80 catches for exactly 1,400 yards. This season, he's on 57 catches, 639 yards, and this past week, he caught one pass.
Apparently, you know... He just got horrible or something, or maybe his quarterback did. So
yeah, it must be Bortles. No, it must be Bortles, because that guy looked like a great receiver. He really did.
He didn't get shorter and he didn't get slower. So
that's very true. Yeah, good point. Gosh, I'm not missing Justin at all. In terms of the Jacksonville, obviously Gus Bradley, his pants are truly on fire. No.
Yeah. He's going to be gone. I think a few coaches here coming up soon are going to be gone. So.
Yeah. Well, we're moving to the next one, the number 28, the New York Jets. They're also up one spot after that. Well, I'm sure it was a game you were glued to. The nation was glued to. New York Jets beating the San Francisco 49ers. Bryce Petty looking like Joe Montana. It was fantastic. And what about Todd Bowles? Rumors he might be staying, but he must be. He must be smelling smoke.
He is, but I mean, he doesn't, what he did last year, earn him a little bit. This is only his second year.
So yeah, he was 10-6.
Yeah, 10-6 or 9-7. Definitely a winning season. So
yeah. The problem with the Jets, of course, is like so many teams here at the bottom, the quarterback situation is a revolving door at the moment for the Jets. Petty looked not too bad, but he didn't look great either. He did come back after a pretty horrible interception, and possibly the first play even. I'm not so sure about Bowles. Chicago Bears at number 27, no change for them from last week. Tom, our Chicago fan, super fan, was on the podcast last night actually saying that he enjoyed seeing a number of the young players doing really well and getting a chance to play. Do you think there's a hot seat there for Mr. Fox?
Well, they're not getting better, and he hasn't had a winning season in Chicago. So he's around that magical age where I think they might go for a younger guy.
They missed Gase, of course. He left them, didn't he, in the offseason to go to Miami. Mm-hmm. But yeah, okay. Maybe put. I'm just writing this down here. Fox is a maybe. Number 26, the Arizona Cardinals. And I have to say, I did have a chuckle this afternoon when I was looking at the NFL.com. And Bruce Arians was asked a question in the press conference about Justin Bethel and his transition from a special teamer, a key special teamer, into the cornerback position. And Bruce Arians called it a failure in progress. Now, I'm not sure. Is that a motivational tool, Greg?
No. Bruce Arians doesn't give two craps what anyone thinks. He just says whatever he thinks to say. So.
Oh, fantastic. That's another team. I mean, is Bruce Arians in the hot seat?
I don't think he's on the hot seat, but I kind of... He keeps having all these, like, chest pains and everything. Yeah. I'm sort of hoping that he steps away for his own health, at least for a little bit.
That's been, what, at least twice this season he's missed time through chest pains, no?
And I do believe a few years ago when he was coaching the Colts, I think he missed the playoff game that he got them into with chest pains. So. Mm.
And breaking news, chest pains is not good. Number 25, the Indianapolis Colts. No change for Indianapolis. They're still in the hunt at 6-7, but wow, that is the division from hell. And what about Pagano and the GM? Hot seats?
They're all gone.
Even if they make the playoffs?
They're gone. They're wasting one of the great talents in the league. They're gone.
I think you're probably right. They are certainly wasting one of the great talents in the league. That is a fantastic kicker they have there. And number 24. Don't get it too high on the Philadelphia Eagles. Number 24, Philadelphia. They are dropping, although, I mean, I watched the game yesterday. They probably should have beaten Washington. I think just the struggles for Carson Wentz at this time of his season. He's struggling. And, yeah, Philadelphia, their coach is not in the hot seat, is he?
No, I think they've actually had a really promising season. Yeah. And I think what you're seeing is just, you know, some of their true colors coming out. This wasn't that good of a team to start the year off, and they really did a great job covering it all up for as long as they did.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Although they did score, there were only 5 points in the game yesterday, but they did have a pick six in amongst that. So they actually only scored, I think, like 15 or 16 points in the end offensively. So a lot of work to do there. They're struggling in terms of playmakers for Carson Wentz, aren't they? I mean, they've got Ertz, the tight end, but otherwise, is there a number one receiver there? Nah. Is there a really good running back? Probably not. And their offensive line needs some work. I know James, our Eagles superfan, he was very disappointed with the offensive line, and I'm putting that into the nicest words I can.
Well, and they have no one to blame but themselves on the weapons part. They've let everyone vacate that they've ever drafted or, you know, that was a good player for them. So, and you know, you're the custodian of one of those guys. So
that's right. And he came up with obviously the 80-yard touchdown bomb yesterday, but he also had an even better catch. It was a 20, I think it was 21 yards, the catch on the sideline. Got his feet down. Terrific play. And yeah, I think Macklin left them as well, didn't he? And when you give up players like Jackson and Macklin in their prime, you deserve all you get, really, don't you?
McCoy and
of course, yeah.
And Murray. Murray's a top four rusher in the league.
Yeah, it's true, yeah. Wow. Well, Chip Kelly. Great friend of the NFC East. Okay, number 23 is the Buffalo Bills. They're dropping, and when we're talking about the hottest of hot seats, surely with Fisher gone, Rex Ryan is toasting away nicely.
I can't believe he's not already gone. After he blamed the loss last night to the Steelers on the quarterback.
Yeah.
He should be gone just for saying that.
Yeah, that was harsh. That was very harsh. If you were blaming anybody on that game for that game yesterday, would it be the defense?
Absolutely. I mean, they sometimes had nine guys in the box and couldn't stop the running game. So,
yeah, incredible. Incredible. But yeah, we think he's probably gone at some point. He's a definite, isn't he? He'll be sacked and he'll have a couple of weeks holiday.
He has,
and that's the sort of character. So on you go, Greg, on you go.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to point out that they've only have, what, 300 rushing yard games this year, and Buffalo's given up two of them. So, for a defensive coach.
Well, exactly, yeah. Yeah, that was his big thing, wasn't it? I mean, back in the day, he was a terrific defensive coordinator, but yeah, that's not good. Buffalo. He is the sort of coach, though. You can imagine that he's the sort of character they need in Los Angeles. So I'm saying it right here, right now, Greg. It's Rex Ryan to Los Angeles.
Yeah. All right. Get the movie tickets ready.
Yes, indeed. Okay, number 22, we've got the Houston Texans. And they are, Greg, sitting at number 22 in our rankings. But they are the fourth seed in the AFC. What is happening?
They haven't gotten any better. They are the same team they were in week one. And I think everyone else around them has gotten better. I mean, I'm a little flash forward head here, but you have Tennessee a couple spots up further, and that's a team that's constantly improved. I don't know. I think Bill O'Brien's seat should be a little warm. I'm not sure he gets fired, but
yeah. How much does an owner look at his GM and his coach and say, "Hey guys, you picked Brock Osweiler. You said he was your guy. He could do all the throws, and yet here we are." With a huge quarterback question again, how much does that play into his hotness?
Well, and they've given away two starting quarterbacks the last 2 years that have gone on and looked good elsewhere. So,
yeah. Well, we'll see. Now we'll put him down as a maybe. Boom, boom, maybe. Right. And number 21, we've got the San Diego Chargers. They lost Gordon yesterday. To an injury, which is unfortunate. He's only, what, 3 or 4 yards away from a 1,000-yard season, and the guy's been really terrific catching the ball at the backfield as well. I hope he gets back in time to get his 3 or 4 yards. Otherwise, well, who do you fire first in San Diego? The trainers and the medical staff or the coach?
That's a really tough question, right? I mean, I think you get a new medical staff, that's for sure. Because that's been the problem for several years for them. But is their problem really coaching? I don't know. I don't watch enough of them to really know, but they seem to be in every single game. So
they do. And they just seem to have lost player after player after player. And then on Sunday, we saw potential defensive rookie of the year, Bosa, get injured. And yeah, is it? I guess an element of that is always luck. But an element of it also must be to do with the training regime and the guys just taking care of their players. Something strange. That's 2 years running. Didn't they lose an awful lot of players last year too?
Well, I know their offensive line has just been constantly turning over guys because of injury, and it's been for a few years. At least my impression has been like 3.
Mm. Yeah,
they've been mainly healthy, but on the offensive line.
Because they were going great guns, and then Keenan Allen got injured. He's a terrific receiver, and it's just been in. Didn't Benjamin get injured as well? And
And Woodhead, just their third down back. And...
Of course, yeah. And then the cornerback, who I can never remember his name. I couldn't remember it last week. Can't remember it this week.
Yep.
Jason Verrett, exactly. Yes, thank you, Greg. He's a great player. He really is a good player. Right, so San Diego sitting there at number 21. They're down four spots, up four spots, and we just mentioned them. At number 20, the Tennessee Titans. And, yeah, Mariota had a pretty shoddy game, really. But Tennessee won, and like you say, Greg, they are an improving team, and no hot seats here.
No. Surprising. I think everyone would have thought that their coach would have been gone after the season. That, you know, they're just getting the team ready to sell, and he actually seems to know what he's doing. So.
Yep. He's put together a big old offensive line, and he's got a couple of terrific running backs. And I like Mariota. I think he's going to be a really good player. Really like him a lot. They could do with a couple of wide receivers. That's what they could do with.
Absolutely.
So we've got Tennessee there at number 20. They're up four. Just looking at their division then, Greg, come playoff time in a few weeks, three more weeks, do you see Houston still being number one there in that division, or can Tennessee or even Indianapolis come back and take that?
Indy's done. They now have to beat Houston in record because they lost the tiebreaker. I hope Tennessee comes out with a division because I actually think they'd be a team that nobody would really want to face in a one-game playoff. I mean, that running attack, the way the NFL is built, all the teams that are ahead of them, I don't know if anyone in the AFC wants to see a running attack like that in the playoffs.
Yeah, it can be a real winning thing, a strong running attack in the playoffs. So, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I also really hope Tennessee win because they've been a bit of a breath of fresh air, really, in the league this season. Number 19, a team who are not a breath of fresh air. And I'm going to say here, Greg, a team with a coach who should be in the hot seat. That's the New Orleans Saints. Drew Brees, three picks last week, three picks this week. And, yeah, I don't know. Sack the coach. Fire him.
Yeah.
He's been there a long time.
Maybe some new blood would do Brees good.
Yeah, we'll put him on the maybe list. Because I guess didn't he sign a contract extension in the offseason? Or is that not right?
Well, Jeff Fisher just proved that means nothing. So
that's very true. And as a contracts manager, I can tell you it means nothing. Number 18, the Carolina Panthers. They are up four spots. They won against the Chargers yesterday. Cam's playing really poorly, but you see every game with that team, there's flashes there of that 2015 team. They're just not seeing those flashes often enough, nor consistently enough. But they can still move the ball at times.
This has been probably the most shocking team to me, because after that Super Bowl performance, and I know I get on them a lot about not diving the ball, but it seems like he's never recovered from that. At least that's my perception this year. Maybe he just needs to go away from football for a bit and get a fresh start next year.
He doesn't seem to have gotten over the... Now, I watched the first game of the year, and it was a Super Bowl rematch, wasn't it, against Denver. I watched that game, and he was... I mean, they were hitting him illegally all the way through the game. I don't think he's gotten over that either. I think you're right in terms of the Super Bowl loss. He hasn't gotten over that. And that's, of course, the failure to dive on the fumble. What did you call it? A business decision? And
That's what he said, actually.
So. That's what he said. Okay, right. So he's not gotten over that. And yeah, there's just something not right there. What about Ron Rivera? Old Riverboat Ron. Hot seat?
He's always on the hot seat. They always try to get rid of him, and they always keep him. So
they've got, of course, the defensive coordinator. Is it McDermott he's called? Sean McDermott? He's always in play, isn't he, for one of these head coaching jobs. Maybe he would come through and take on that team. But I quite like Riverboat Ron. He's kind of like, yeah, sticks two fingers up to the world. Quite like that. Number 17, the Minnesota Vikings. We know the defense can still play. They're up a couple of spots, but still struggling on offense. But maybe getting Peterson back.
Does that matter at this point? I mean, they're on the outside looking in. I can't see them making up some games. So.
No, I don't. They're just not scoring enough points. Every game's going to be tight and close. And when you're playing every game tight and close, don't you also just lose a lot of those games?
Yeah, right.
I think so. Number 16, we've got the Cincinnati Bengals. They are up two spots, and they appear to have found a way to win without AJ Green. I thought the first couple of games after he went out, they really struggled. They looked completely devoid of ideas on offense. But, Greg, I remember about 6 months ago, you were harping on about some wide receiver called Tyler Boyd, who obviously born in the correct zip code, and he's having a pretty good season. And I noticed this past week, he was targeted 6 times and he caught 6 passes. Pretty good for a rookie at this stage of the season.
Yeah, and it seems like they're treating him like they did at Pitt. They're running everything through him. I mean, he's a playmaker. The only thing is, they were wondering if he could do it on the NFL level, and I think he's proven it.
Yeah, 48 catches, just over 500 yards. And, you know, when you consider this is, what, week 14, played 14 games, 13, 14 games, that's pretty good going for a receiver. They usually struggle, don't they, late on in the rookie season. So, yeah, good on him. Good eye for talent there, Greg.
It's easy when he's from Pittsburgh, so.
Right, number 15, the Miami Dolphins. And this time yesterday, we thought Tannehill may be gone for the season and maybe even into next season. Tonight, though, there seems to be reports coming out that it's not an ACL tear, but an ACL and MCL sprain, which, of course, is considerably better. And I even saw one report which said he was week to week.
Yeah, I mean, this would be great if it's not. I mean, the news is great, even if he doesn't play this year, because going into next season, he won't be hindered. And I think that's the big win. And anything else they get is gravy.
Yeah, it's true. They're currently just on the outside, aren't they, looking in the playoff picture in the AFC. But like you say, just making sure this guy's going to be healthy for next season, that's a huge bonus. So, yeah. Good luck. Good news. It's always terrible to see a player go out with a very serious injury for a long time. Everybody gets injured, but an ACL tear is pretty serious stuff. Number 14, the Denver Broncos. And Greg, I've dropped them 8 spots because they were awful yesterday. Now, okay, they were playing one of our favorites in Tennessee, but blimey, they were awful.
Yeah, and I don't think their fall has stopped. I think it's just this is a midpoint on where they're going to go. Their schedule is brutal.
Yes, indeed. You were saying before we went started recording here that they play the last 3 games are all division games.
Yeah, and their division, unfortunately, is probably the best in the league. So
maybe the best in the AFC, but it's clearly not the best in the league. But it's still pretty good, and that's that. I think you're right. I think they will continue to drop, but as it is today, they are still the 6th seed in the AFC. So still in the playoffs, and Denver in the playoffs with that defense, it's good. But what worries me with Denver is not so much the passing game. But last year, they had this combination of a really strong running game together with that phenomenal defense. And I'm not seeing the running game there this year. I think didn't they sign Justin Forsett in this past week? And his first carry was a fumble.
Yeah, and then the other backs are so bad on the team right now that they're letting him. They let him back in the game. So, you know, it's even worse than we thought. Denver does have 2 division games left, but they also have to go to New England next week. So that's awful.
That's a loss. Yeah. Well, maybe one of the other teams can nick into that 6th seed. Number 13, the Green Bay Packers. Oh, everybody's convinced the Green Bay are back and this is happening and that's happening. I saw them play Washington. I saw them playing Tennessee. And I'm still not convinced.
I've been convinced for like 3 weeks. So,
Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm just not sure how. Well, we don't know how good Seattle is at the moment. They looked poor in the last few weeks, but Well, we'll see. They're currently not in the playoffs. They're one of the teams who are of a sort of small group of teams who are in the NFC East picture in the NFC picture. And we'll see if they can get through, but yeah, we'll see. You might be right, Greg. You probably are, but we'll see. Are you saying now they're going to make the playoffs? Would that be your?
I think so. Just because they played Detroit last game of the season, I could see them making it tight between now and then.
Are they? And you think they'll get to the playoffs as division winner? Would that be your thinking there?
I'm going to say no. Maybe Tampa Bay's not for real, or somebody like that.
Because we're going to have the Giants as a wild card, almost certainly, I would think. That leaves 1 wild card spot between them, Tampa, Washington, these teams. What are they? How far back are they at the moment? They're 2 two games behind Detroit. So yeah, maybe that, and only three games left. So yeah, that's going to be tough for them. They've also got the Vikings in there at 7-6. Oh well, Green Bay, we'll see how you do. No change for Baltimore at number 12. And well, let's just go back to Green Bay for a second, Greg. We're talking about hot seats earlier on for these teams in the lower tiers of our rankings. What about Green Bay? If they don't make the playoffs, hot seat?
No, I don't think so. Not at all. I think if they didn't make it the playoffs again next year, maybe. But didn't they play in? Didn't like they make the playoffs and have some type of fantastic thing last year where they threw like a Hail Mary at the end of the game to win one?
They certainly did that at a couple of points last year. They beat the juggernaut, which is the Washington Redskins, in the playoffs last season. Yeah. They beat us quite handily in Washington, sadly. But I think they probably went out the next round. I don't know. I look at Green Bay and I see. He's got a Super Bowl. Yeah, like,
and he doesn't miss the playoffs normally. So
he has got the best quarterback in the league, in some people's view.
Yeah,
one of the greatest of all time.
He also has one of the biggest quarterback contracts to deal with too. I mean, you don't just fire a guy like that when they're in contention. So
yeah, okay, right. Number 12, the Baltimore Ravens. They are, of course, in your division, and you're battling with them for the division title. They play Monday Night Football tonight in New England. I'm assuming, Greg, in the picks, you took New England?
Yes, I did. Absolutely.
Yep, as did I. It looks like it's going to be reasonable weather in New England tonight. I see they've got the covers off the field. No snow in the field, so that'll be quite good. But Baltimore... tough team, but are they going to win the division, or are Pittsburgh going to win the division?
I'm not going to say, but I will say this. I know everyone on this podcast likes to think that Bill Belichick's the best coach in the league, but I actually think John Harbaugh is. I am just amazed what he's able to do with that roster.
Yeah, he's had a great season. Not his biggest fan, but like you say, He's got a defense there which must be bordering on average age of about 40, and they're playing hard. He's doing a lot with very little. He also has a Super Bowl, of course. Did he have one or did he have two? Just the one. Okay. Oh yeah, of course it was that really annoying guy that won the first Super Bowl, wasn't it? What's he called again? Billick, Brian Billick.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oof, I'd never tire of slapping him. Now, at number 12, we have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're up two spots, and they're a team who are climbing steadily every week. And again, look pretty good this week.
The most exciting thing is that it's their young duo that's doing it for them. So, I mean, they'd be fun to watch in the playoffs. Not that I'm rude or anything, but...
Where they've improved in the last month or so has also been defensively, no? They have really started to play some really good defense.
Yeah, everyone forgot about that linebacker David, and he's really turned, reminded everyone that he was great.
Yeah, he's a really good player. And McCoy, of course, as well, defensive tackle. Right, Tampa Bay up in the number 11. They are the sixth seed in the NFC, and one spot above them, no bias at all, Washington Redskins at number 10. No change for them. They are currently out of the playoffs. And as it stands, which actually looks a bit stark now, I look at it on the screen, they're the only team in our top 10 who are currently not in a playoff spot. So maybe they shouldn't be in number 10. Maybe they should swap with Tampa Bay. What do you think, Greg?
No, let me make Tampa earn it. Tampa, it was not a playoff team last year. They're pretty poor. They're on a big winning streak. I Washington's justified there.
Okay, we'll go with that then. Washington, yeah, they played Philadelphia yesterday. Was a pretty ugly game all around. But one of those, I guess you get that with division games when teams know each other so well. And of course, the rosters are built to win the division against their division rivals, obviously. So, it was a tough watch. It was one of those games where we did nothing, nothing, nothing. Then it had two or three big plays, nothing, nothing, nothing. Two or three more big plays, and we came away with a win. A couple of big defensive plays for a change. We have made very few big plays on defense, something that the good teams, you always see, like the good Steelers teams, you know, they would, you know, work away for the whole game, but all of a sudden, Harrison or whatever your safety guy was called with the big hair, Polamalu, somebody would make a big play and change the game. And yesterday, Washington managed to do that a couple of times. So that was promising, but we still couldn't. Oh, I'd be pretty certain you'd get at least 100 yards, a nice healthy 4.5 yards of pop against our defensive line there, Greg.
We'll never know because Bell can't show up for drug tests. So
yeah. Right. At number 9, one spot above Washington, and number 3 seed currently in the AFC, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you can tell us how wonderful Bell was and how terrible Ben was.
Ben was truly terrible. 3 interceptions and it didn't even matter. But Le'Veon Bell, it's a shame he was suspended for those first 3 games because I think he's averaging about 162 yards from scrimmage each game this year, which would put him on pace to break the all-time record from yards from scrimmage, which I think is about 2,500 held by Chris Johnson. I mean, he was just magical. He's a great player. He should be in the MVP talk, but he did it to himself. So,
Because he was suspended, he is excluded from the MVP talk, or is it just excluded from the Pro Bowl?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't think they had guys hard enough time showing up for the Pro Bowl. So I didn't know they were excluded.
That's right. So many guys pull out, then you're on to the doping list. Okay.
Yeah. But to my knowledge, I think those awards are all done by sports writers. So it's up to them. When you have a legit guy out there like David Johnson, who's basically the same player as Bell, but is going to play all 16 games. I don't know how you make the case for Bell over Johnson.
Where I see the difference with Bell over Johnson is that Bell has shown the ability to rise above every other player on the field, take control of the game, and win it for his team. You can say Johnson does that sometimes too, but I think Bell was doing it in a playoff race, and it's hugely impressive. Just seeing him yesterday, he was. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you go to soccer or pretty much any sport, really, sometimes you when it's young people, you know, kids and that, and there's one kid who's bigger and stronger and faster than everybody else, and he's just like 10 times better than everybody else. There's nobody near him, men against boys almost sort of thing. And that's the thing, when you see Bell running like he did yesterday, it was at the highest level of football, he looked like a man amongst boys.
I agree. And it's just a shame that he can't keep himself clean, or he would have real awards coming to him. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's certainly dragging that team kicking and screaming to the playoffs. Very impressed. And just wanted to have a word. We talked about it off-air. Been really impressed with your two defensive backs, Artie Burns, who was, your first-round pick, and was Sean Davis your second round, or was he third round?
Second round. And actually, our third-round pick is starting on the defensive line, but he missed the game with a concussion. So great draft class for them.
Yeah.
Sean Davis is a difference maker back there. He's a sure tackler. He's been great. And Artie Burns, he's put away the shuffleboard in Florida. And, he's getting a lot of snaps and he's growing up. It's been really nice to see.
Yeah, it's terrific. Okay, Pittsburgh on a roll and a team going in the opposite direction, the Seattle Seahawks. 5 picks. What happened? Justin, it's no wonder you're in hiding this week.
But, I don't know. I've been on the Russell Wilson is a little bit overhyped this year. I think it's mainly because of injury. But, I mean, everyone has a game like that. I'm not going to hang it on that. I've been tearing the guy down before this. So,
yeah, absolutely. And it was a bizarre performance. And I know certainly because I saw it, 2 of the interceptions were not on Wilson. I mean, the receivers, rather than dropping the ball, they sort of mishandled it and threw it up into the air, and it landed just nicely into the hands of defenders, and those things can happen. But there's got to be some concern in Seattle. No concern in Seattle?
I don't know. I'm not Justin, so. I'm quite pleased that they lost, so.
That's it. Poor Justin. Come on, Justin. Enjoy your time in the clinic. Right. In number 7, we've got the New York Giants. And interestingly, Dallas's only 2 losses this season have been against the Giants. What do they know that the rest of the league doesn't?
They just play that team every year. That's just how it goes. Throw those games out when you're looking, when you're talking about playoffs here. Just division rivals.
But do you see the Giants going far in the playoffs? They're currently the number 5 seed. They're going to be a wild card for sure.
Well, I mean, so they're going to end up probably going to what, like Atlanta, probably?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that their offense, the Giants haven't scored 30 points this season. And if you're going to get in a shootout, you probably don't want to get in a shootout against Atlanta. So,
yeah. They currently, as the season, if the season was to end today, the Giants would be going to Atlanta to play the Falcons. That would be an interesting game. Because, like you say, they don't score enough points to stay in games. So, yeah, not a fan of the Giants, really, to be honest. Number 6, the Detroit Lions. I am a fan of the Detroit Lions. Stafford's finger injury, he says that'll be fine. He'll get through it. But as we saw with Derek Carr last week against the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm not sure a finger injury on your throwing hand is something you can just quite easily play through without any particular issue with your throwing.
Yeah, I mean, Stafford's showing his toughness right now. Very impressive. You know, definitely in the MVP conversation, in my opinion. And everyone likes to make fun of Jim Caldwell, but again, has to be a coach of the year consideration for what he had to start with. Everyone was wondering if they were going to be where the Browns are. So,
They
lost Calvin Johnson, you know.
Yeah.
Great job.
It's, I do find it fascinating that when the great all-time wide receiver retires, Stafford actually starts to look better. Now, that may just be more to do with Kuchar's tutoring of Stafford and the way the offense is going now. But it is interesting that Stafford has to look a little bit wider afield and maybe take on more of a leadership role. And he's like you say, Greg, absolutely in the hunt for the MVP. If he takes that team deep in the playoffs, why not?
I agree.
Number 5, the Atlanta Falcons. They're up 2 spots, and they managed to sit down Julio Jones and say, "Take a rest, Julio. We've got this." And they went on to absolutely slaughter the Los Angeles Rams in what was a fitting finale to Jeff Fisher's coaching career. But hey, Atlanta, they're looking good. Vic Beasley's looking good. And could they go deep in the playoff run?
I've seen this script before. I'm not going to buy it, but it's a good story.
It's a good story. Yeah, it's true. They will, we'll see how Matt Ryan holds up in a big pressure situation. But so far, so good for Atlanta. Number 4, the Oakland Raiders. They drop down a spot and they lose their spot in the rankings to Kansas City, who beat them in that Thursday night game. I stayed up and watched that game. It was pretty good. Pretty good. Oakland looked like they were going to come back in that game. But overall, I thought Derek Carr was inaccurate. He was throwing behind his receivers. Timing was off. And I'm going to put it down to the injury. What do you think?
I think you're right on. It was also a short week and cold, really cold conditions.
Yeah.
And I mean, we saw what guys did, like even Ben Roethlisberger this week, playing in just, you know, quasi-cold conditions. It really plays a quarterback. So, bad hand, I'm not going to hold it against them.
Yeah. I have to say, though, when I did watch the game, I thought, great, it's the Color Rush uniforms night. And I do like me a bit of Color Rush uniforms, Greg. And I always think to myself, it's like when you do anything, play sport, and you're going to go for something risky, go hard, go big, go massive. Don't draw back and say, no, I'm not going to just go as crazy as I can. Go absolutely nuts. And what did Oakland turn up with? And I know the NFL's got this white strips when you're playing away from home rubbish. They turn up in all white. And you think, come on, how would you guys look if you turned up in all silver?
Yeah, but I'm just happy that I can still see. So
it would have been fantastic. Imagine this, just this nice chrome sort of silver look all over the pitch. Fantastic. That I would have loved that. I mean, or all black. Go all black instead. But oh no, they turn up in white, and you think, oh, blood. That's not Color Rush. White's not a color. Maybe silver's not a color, but still, it's better. Right, that's enough. If they want any fashion advice, I'm the man. Kansas City Chiefs, number 3. Now, they had a lovely Color Rush This red's beautiful, all red, very nice. But big win, but it was offset by the injury to Derek Johnson, one of Nick, our chief superfan, one of his favourite players. And yeah, okay, big win, but are they going to miss Derek Johnson down the line?
I mean, I guess so. I assume he's the captain of the defense. I mean, he's older than probably, he's probably the oldest linebacker in the league, probably. So, I don't know. Maybe there's a silver lining from Oakland that he got injured, and maybe they're going to be more athletic now.
Yeah, possibly. Quite possibly. It lets a young guy step up, doesn't it, and show his ability. So we'll see what happens there. Always tough to see. Well, that was an Achilles injury, wasn't it? It didn't look good at all. So wish Derek Johnson well. And the Kansas City Chiefs, they don't need any good luck from us because they're doing well all by themselves. And number two, I've dropped Dallas down a spot because I felt last night, although I've only seen highlights of the game, I did kind of think, ooh, are we hitting this rookie wall?
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. Is it true that their quarterback hasn't thrown for like more than 150 yards in the last month? I heard that.
Yeah, something like three or four games. Yeah.
I mean, they're in the playoffs. They're going to be the number one seed. Those are already sewed up. I'm not looking forward to the Dallas gets blown out in the first round.
Mm. It also just firms up this idea that this season is just not a great season all around. In terms of having one or two powerhouse teams, you could see anybody losing to anybody, really. And I think the quality's down there, apart from Pittsburgh, of course. So, Greg, that leaves our number one team as the New England Patriots. How do you feel about that, being an AFC rival?
I'm glad, because when Pittsburgh goes into Foxborough later this year, I'll be even sweeter, so... But, you got to be thinking about the mastermind and Belichick. He traded away all those veteran players throughout the season. Gronk gets hurt. Like, did he out-coach himself or out-think himself this year? I know he's still the number one seed, but if you're asking me take New England in the Super Bowl or the field, I'm definitely taking the field.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I still think that at some point they're going to meet a pass rush that's going to take advantage of that rather weak offensive line. And I don't want to see Brady getting hit more than two or three times at his age. It's not going to be good. Okay, he gets the ball out fast, but we'll see. Yeah, Patriots number one, but it's one of those years where it's best of a bad bunch, isn't it? Rather than Patriots number one because they're absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Right, Greg, we will end this production with our extra point. And last week, Justin and I looked at various awards for players of the year at various positions. We had the Defensive Player of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year, likewise with offense. And we also, I think I chose Justin Tucker as the league MVP, which no doubt will go down very well with Pittsburgh fans. How about you give me your Offensive Player of the Year? And I just say that I chose Derek Carr.
Oh, that's a pretty good choice. I went with the running back because I just don't feel like any of the quarterbacks have done enough yet for me. So I'm going to go with David Johnson. Tough year for them, but I like what he's done. I like that he's played all the games this year so far, and he's my pick.
Terrific player. Terrific player. Good pick, yeah. And your Defensive Player of the Year? I went with Khalil Mack.
That's a great one. I went with his division rival, Von Miller. You lead the leading sacks, you get a little bit of respect. So.
Yeah, he's still a phenomenal player, isn't he? Wow. I'd love to see him in a Washington Redskins uniform. Preferably before he's 35 and done, like we usually do in Washington. And your Offensive Rookie of the Year?
Slam dunk. It has to be Ezekiel Elliott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Justin chose. I went with Prescott, but after watching him last night, maybe not so much. And what about your Defensive Rookie of the Year?
Well, I'm going to pick the Leonard Floyd from Chicago. I think he's got some hope. He looks great when he's out there. So.
Mm-hmm. He certainly does. Yeah. He had a good game yesterday. He's, for me, he's a bit like the Vic Beasley of Chicago. And I wonder if next year we'll see him do what Beasley has done this year. I think Beasley's up there with 13 and a half sacks as well, isn't he? Amazing, amazing season. So, yeah, but he certainly looks athletic, quick. So we'll see if he can pull that off. That's our players of the year. Do you buy into this offensive player of the year plus an MVP being different?
I mean, it kind of lets everyone show that the quarterback is the most important position and get, you know, and genuflect to that position. But I don't know. I a lot of times think the quarterback is overrated. So I don't know, wherever I fall. I'm glad that guys get appreciated. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, it's true. Right. Okay, Greg, unless you have anything else and I've missed something, then I think we're finished here.
All right. Well, thanks for letting me come on.
Hey, anytime. And even when Justin's on, you want to come on, just you come on and we can take shots at Seattle.
Perfect.
Okay, thanks everybody. See you next week, listener. And let me know if you think our rankings are way off. But of course, they're not. See you next week.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.